Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, my guests are Joseph Anthony Giudice and Michael Carsoni. I probably messed up their names, but we're going to talk to them in a few minutes. Their book is called Our Naked Lives. They've edited a book on essays from gay Italian American men. Their book starts out with a collection of essays and turns into this wonderful, colorful tapestry of 15 fabrics, each unique but bonded by the powerful, invisible force of being a gay Italian-American. Let me get them on the line. We're having a little trouble sometimes.
Hello, Michael here.
Hi, Michael. This is Nate Klarfeld. Let me go ahead and call Joseph. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I am great. I just introduced you. We are on live on the air. I just gave you a fabulous introduction, and I want you to talk a little bit about how you came to write the book. I got Michael on the phone. Michael, go ahead and introduce yourself, and I'll get Joseph on the line on your other phone. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So I'm Michael Carasoni, and I'm one of the two editors. Joseph and I edited the book together. We're also partners. We'll be together 9 years in October.
Mazel tov. Good for
you.
Right?
This was sort of accidental or a happy accident. In 2007, I was writing my thesis for my master's degree in English. I actually had to come back to it. So I finished all my coursework in 2002 and then just couldn't finish everything. So I also was having problems with what I wanted to write about for my thesis. And then I realized I really wanted to write about Italian-American literature and how it's marginalized. And I guess that was the problem that I was having was I didn't think it was worthy enough to write about. So while I was doing a research for it for a year, I kept discovering things. And I stumbled upon these two collections of only two books I found. They were collections of essays from gay and lesbian Italian Americans. And it was a totally different perspective, and then I thought about the other levels of marginalization within already marginalized literature, and so then I wanted to research and discover more, and there was nothing really out there. So
okay.
So we started having a conversation, and it was in 2008. And we said we should add another book to that small group.
Okay.
And
great.
So we did. And so all this started in 2008. We wrote a proposal. We had to do a lot of education, educating ourselves on how to write a nonfiction proposal. I was working full-time at the time, and I was also in another graduate program, so Joseph is really the one who wrote most of the proposal, because he just graduated his graduate program, and there was no job, as you know, that's
okay,
always the case.
And
so that's
Joseph
how it happened.
Okay, and I've got Joseph on the line too. Joseph, say hello.
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Hi, how are you? I've got both Joseph Giudice and Michael Carasoni, authors of Our Naked Lives, Essays from Gay Italian-American Men. You can get the book. It's available on Amazon.com and your local publisher. It is available in ebook and also in trade paperback. So I did my little shtick. Okay. in the introduction that you guys didn't get to hear because we were having a little technical trouble, I talked about how the book is a collection of essays. That's what it says at the very beginning. But all of a sudden, when you're reading the book, and I read the book in one sitting, I'm one of those fast readers, you see that it's the same. There's a theme that runs through all the 15 different contributors, and the theme is of course Italian American, but it's also kind of a love-hate relationship with your families and your religion. Could you talk a little bit about that?
That's a good. That's a good
I hate it.
Okay. Joseph, go.
Wow, that's a good question. The thing is, you grow up, you know, with this, you know, so immersed in your culture, and you learn so much about yourself. Well, you learn about who you're supposed to be through your culture. And, you know, I know for me, from my story, and of course a lot of Italian Americans are, you know, Roman Catholic, that, you know, you have to attend catechism, you know, you have to be, you know, religious, you have to be, you know, follow the values, the traditions. And I always felt like, you know, well, always I remember that thing, a feeling like, oh, I'm immoral if I'm a gay person and, you know, this is wrong. And so trying to, like, putting that all out of my awareness during that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wanting to feel like that you're not disappointing the family. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, you
exactly.
always, you know, that's the thing with, like, Italian Americans. It's so much about family is that, and they make you feel like if you're not following what they believe is the right thing for you, like,
mm-hmm.
following the expectations, then you're not worthy, you
mm-hmm.
know, and like that becomes like a real disconnect for the self, you know, in that time.
Sure.
So I think for me, you know, and of course through a lot of the stories is that, you know, you go through these stages of development, you become an adult, and then you like want to feel the connection with the family because you know that, you know, they do love you and they do believe in you, but at the same time, they hold so tightly to these traditions,
right.
you know, including religion
right.
being one of them. And
right.
they may not even know why they do it, but they do
mm-hmm.
because that's what gives them a sense of being.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there's such a disconnect. So, like, and I don't think that struggle ever really goes away.
I
still think like that. Even today, like, for us, like, we still go through, like, you know, my essay talk about this. Like, even holidays come up or special occasions that have religion tied into it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, we really don't feel very comfortable in those settings, you know, because
mm-hmm.
we don't support, you know, Roman Catholicism.
Right.
But
right.
we do support our family. So
right.
it's always like that ongoing conflict with them.
Right. And it's something that really, it's not just you, it was the other 14, it's your partner and then
right,
the other,
exactly.
every single person. And you went from, you know, you've got Felice Pacano, one of the most prolific LGBT writers, you've got Frank Spinelli, you've got
yeah.
all these people from different walks of life, from different, completely different worlds, and the theme always comes back to, and I'm going to talk about it now, most of my listeners do know this that are regulars, I don't think Joseph and Michael I didn't share that with him. We had a little technical problem. I am married to a psychiatrist in the gay community, so
mm-hmm.
we have to talk about mothers.
Oh, gosh.
And I am a I was raised very devout Orthodox Jewish in New York,
mm-hmm.
by the way. But
please, you relate then.
I exactly the whole thing. So we have a lot in common, but not. You know what I mean? I think the Jewish experience is unique as is the Italian American experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always surprised, and I was very very surprised by the way when you said there were only two books available, because just in the sheer numbers of Italian American immigrants. Especially in the Northeast over the last, I don't know, 100 years, the sheer numbers would dictate a monstrous gay community if it's 7% or 10% or 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have expected there are actually more, and I went back and looked, there are more books about, of course, the Jewish experience is big because we like to write and complain, but also the African-American. There's, I mean, the whole Harlem Renaissance was very, very gay and very prolific in the gay community, yet they have a strong family attachment. So I was very surprised, as you were, Michael, when you couldn't find anything but two books, and they were pretty yucky, and this is why.
Well, I wasn't surprised totally, because publishers publishers make it known that Italian Americans don't read, so therefore they're not going to even bother publishing books for them. So this is very historical, and a lot of publishing houses decades ago would just say it. So they may not say it anymore because it may not be politically correct, but it's still implied. So the stereotype is that Italian Americans are stupid. They're still in the mafia. They're uneducated. They're laborers, working class. They don't read. So why would they, you know, publish books for them and about them? And you read Italian American writers and scholars, you really then understand it thoroughly.
Right.
There's a great Italian American professor and writer. Her name is Edie Junta, and she has written a lot. And one of her essays was so powerful in that she said that they stuck one of her books in the cooking section, something like that. I don't remember it. I'm paraphrasing, but so if there is an Italian American book, it's on cooking because that's what we're good for. So I think there are different assumptions and stereotypes for different cultures, ethnicities. So it's well known that, you know, African Americans, the black community, is prolific in their reading and writing, although there are still negative stereotypes as well. But so I think publishers have no problem publishing for them, for the Jewish community, you know. So you as a Jewish man, you have a positive stereotype. It's that, you know, you read and you're educated and you're smart and, you know, you're great accountants and lawyers and all that bullshit. So
doctors. They're all doctors.
Right, doctors too. Right, exactly.
I'm a retired dentist, so I have to be completely out and open. I spent 25 years working. I have been retired for a while now, and I'm working with Stonewall National Museum and Archives, the big gay library down here. I was the board chair for many years, and now I do this for tons of fun. But back to the mothers. Everyone seems to have that Italian mother on Sunday night. Italian mother and Sunday night, if you search in your book, every single almost every single entry talked about some event, issue, recurring theme of Sunday. I think one of them didn't have a mother at all. But the Italian mother on Sunday night seems to be the glue or the poison or something that holds not only holds the family together but keeps other people out. It seems like it's not only a protector of their flock, but also makes sure that nobody comes in. That there's always a now. You both being Italian, I would love to hear how your mothers took to your relationship. Would they have rather had an Italian gay son-in-law or a total stranger?
I think I remember writing in my essay a part where I always have to come out of I still have to come out of two closets, so I'm always coming out of the atheist closet as well. And I think that I remember writing in my essay that my mother had more of a difficult time me saying I'm an atheist than me saying I'm gay, which, you know, maybe that's a good thing. But I think my mother was fine with it when I finally came out, because she and the rest of my family told me they always knew, they just didn't want to start the conversation, you know, the usual. But I think she was actually really relieved, because I went into such deep depression that she was really frightened and worried. So I think it was sort of the choice was either, you know, I stay in that depression and continue being suicidal, or I come out and, you know, so she was fine, and she was fine with my other relationships, and she was fine with my relationship with Joseph. But so I didn't have that horrific coming out story in which I was, you know, kicked out of the house and I had to live on the street. So I guess I was lucky.
You are.
Yeah.
Well, 25% of all gay teens are homeless the night they come out.
Right.
That's a sad statistic.
Isn't that a horrible statistic? And
it's very sad.
It's higher in some cultures than in others. That's the average. That's from the shrink I sleep with. So, I have a question. Let's get on something a little bit happier. Which of the essays, when you received them from the people that you asked to give essays, which one surprised you the most?
I'm trying to think which one was the most surprising.
You mean surprising in how?
In the facts and in what they chose to write about. You know, everybody, you obviously had kind of a blank slate, because people are all over the place. You know, they talk about their parents, they talk about their lovers, they talk about their dead family, they talk about their life family. So which of the authors and which of the essays just kind of surprised you with the content or the take they took on being a gay Italian American?
I was surprised, but very happy with Tony Tripoli's essay and Frank Anthony Polito's essay. Those two, because they were funny, and there was humor. And honestly, after writing my own essay, and I had a real difficult time writing my essay, and I had to constantly take breaks and come back to it. I went to those dark places, and I knew I wanted to. And then after reading the other essays, it was just, for me, I needed that comic relief. And I read the essays are very short, for those who don't know. So I must have read those two essays over and over again just to keep laughing. And I liked that they actually put some humor in the whole situation, because the other essays were really not funny.
No, they were very sad. I mean,
I don't know if I was surprised by it more so. I think I just enjoyed reading about the relationship with probably Mike Schiavi's.
Okay.
He's the one who wrote the biography on Vita Russo.
I really,
you know, because we had started to get to know him, you know, during this process, and he like done one of the readings with us, and it's like, it's an interesting thing when you read about someone's life behind the scenes. Like their relationship with their father, and then what happened to them in school, and then like how he discovered Vito Russo, you know, and what that did for him. I thought that was like so empowering.
It's funny you mentioned Vito Russo. You know, it's Pride Weekend, in Fort Lauderdale this weekend, and I'm with the Stonewall National Museum and Archives, and we always take, you know, ephemera crap out of the, I call it crap, ephemera out of the, and just today, I took out Vito Russo's 16mm projector and put it on display.
Wow.
I know, we have a bunch of stuff like that. We have a lot of fascinating treasures, and it's just funny because I literally just handled it 2 hours ago and put it on display for somebody. They make decisions, the curators, about, of course, in Pride, you've got to have big, flashy, shiny things because people are drawn.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, you can't have small print, but everyone is going to recognize. They're going to see an old RCA movie projector and going to say, oh, Vito Russo, so we have a connection. All right, let's go back to this. I'm going to go back. Well, first of all, you're talking about the biggest drag show, longest running drag show in the world is the Catholic Church. so this is what you think. I don't know, if you guys consider it a drag show too, the whole pomp
like Margaret Cho does.
Yes. Well, what are the dresses and all that stuff?
Right. Yeah.
But why is there such a disconnect with so many of your essays and also my personal experience with Catholics growing? I lived in New York for 7 years. You seem to see so many people calling themselves this word devout Catholic, but they never go to church. They don't know about their own religion. No, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, I actually used the word devout Roman Catholic in my essay.
Oh, okay.
And I talked about my own family.
We know people like that. Go on.
Yeah.
Well, and what is it? And yet they have trouble with gay. I mean, the men are all screwing around. That's
Right. Such hypocrites.
Right, and that hypocrisy seems to be so blatant in many of your essays, not just in the two of your lives, but I think it's 7 or 8 of the essays, they mention fathers who fuck around on internet radio, yet they have trouble with gay. It seems to be such a weird...
I think the hypocrisy is in every religion, even those nice, peaceful Eastern religions that we think are so wonderful, like Buddhism is not as perfect as we... So every religion is hypocritical and flawed, and it's made by people. And I think ideals of religion or religion, all of the religions, they expect people to be perfect, and that's just impossible. So... no one can be like that, and so they'll say one thing but do another thing.
Sure.
And as long as they appear to be, religious and perfect, that's all fine, because, our society is all about appearances anyway. And
sure.
So, no one in this world, I don't even mind making the general statement, but I can't see any person following the Ten Commandments exactly every day. I think it's just, for me, in my opinion, it's just all nonsense and just foolish. But if I had my way, there would be no religions, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But...
Right.
Whether or not they go to church on Sunday, they're going to find time to do the naughty things that they really want to do. So even if they're in the closet and they're married and they're gay and they're Catholic, they're going to play all the roles that they need to, and they'll find time to go have sex with men on the side, and as long as no one knows about it, then it's fine.
Well, And it's the same thing with the Orthodox Jewish religion, which I grew up
right.
in.
Yeah.
I grew up Black Hasidic, so I can tell you the hypocrisy in that religion with
mm-hmm.
child
well,
abuse.
Yeah,
you're
right.
With child abuse.
I always yeah. tell people my great story about when I was at the gay club, the gay bar, the Cock, right here in Manhattan.
Sure.
One Sunday night, there were 12 Orthodox Jews sitting
right.
against the wall in their, you know,
black
in their garb, in their uniform, whatever. So obviously, that's a problem. But
yes,
you know.
I call it 19th century shtetl drag. Their outfits.
Mm.
It's shtetl drag. The shtetls of the little.
That's a good one.
But
drag.
I get into a lot of trouble. I have brothers, nieces, and nephews that dress that way,
yeah.
believe that way. But I also have, thanks to the genetics and the new world, I also have some very close relatives that are recently out of the closet that have done a very torturous trip and still find, unlike some people. Like me, I completely rejected most of my. I'm almost an atheist. I don't know what I am, but they are. There's a whole movement, and I think it's also evident in Catholicism because I've spoken to some young Catholics that there are some very devout gay religious people that
mm-hmm.
want to hold on to the traditions, want to hold on to the faith,
mm-hmm.
and want that ritual. And I don't know I don't know if there's certain people that are born hardwired to love all that pomp and circumstance
right.
and
mm-hmm.
and giant buildings, and whether it is a mosque, a synagogue, or a cathedral, it seems they all seem to look alike after a while. And
right.
and the rules are all alike, and the women are all treated like second-class citizens, and there's a
right.
lot of manipulation
mm-hmm.
and hypocrisy. So it's all
right.
about the same. Believe it or not, we only have 3 minutes left. This is the fastest 30 minutes of your life. I should have told you that.
It does
I
go
wanna
quick,
ask
yeah.
you some. It does go really quick. I want to ask you some questions about writing, and what would you do if a young, pimple-faced, young little gay kid came up to you at a reading and said, I want to be a writer just like you. What would you tell them?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. Wow. I would just say that, be patient, because
uh-huh.
it's really, I don't really see myself as like, I guess, quote unquote, writer,
uh-huh.
I really see myself as like a social worker. I feel like that's
okay.
like a very uh-huh. strong identity for me, along with my Italian Americanism.
Right.
I feel like writing, like for me in my whole life, I've always written in a journal.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that was very helpful for me. And even, I just say, just keep writing. And it doesn't matter. And I know David Sedaris has said this, and I love this about him. He said, start early and you'll just get better at it. You
sure.
know, and, like,
sure.
and that's the great thing about it. It's, like, if you just keep doing it and you just listen and you're attentive and you read, like, you will find yourself really putting out, like, some amazing things. And you go back to it and you say, wow, like, that was very cathartic that I wrote that. And you, like, you're amazed by some of the things that come out of you. So I think for this process of writing the book for us was very cathartic. And
good.
We're very happy and grateful that you interviewed us. We're very appreciative of that.
Good.
And,
thank you.
I want people to express themselves through their writing.
Right.
I think that's the most important part.
Okay, good. So what's next for you two on the writing world or just in general? Come on. I want to hear. I'm nosy.
What's next for us?
In the literary world, what are you working on? What are your projects?
We're both in doctoral programs, so we're writing.
yeah,
but so that's taking time. Yeah, and I want to publish my poetry manuscript, so I want to start sending it to publishers. And
okay.
I would tell people what people have to know about this book is that. An Italian, a small independent a small independent academic press, an Italian-American
uh-huh.
press that really only publishes Italian-American literature, chose to publish this book because no
right.
other publisher would, and
uh-huh.
that included all of the gay publishers.
Wow.
So they can say that they'll publish anything, but they really won't. So
okay,
I would say
okay.
that just because, you know, you get your rejections doesn't mean you have to stop. So
okay,
I'm going to start submitting more work, and that's about it.
Good. Well, listen, it's Our Naked Lives, Essays from Gay Italian-American Men. It's available on Amazon.com. Just look for Our Naked Lives. It just pops up. And Small Press Distribution, spdbooks.org, also has
mm-hmm.
it. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
You.
Take care.
Good night.
Do we hang up?